The question was asked, is it a major problem for women to wear tefillin? So we have to understand this topic from a halachic perspective and from a realistic perspective. Where do you want to start?
Halachic.
Whichever makes the most logical sense.
Halachic. Okay. So from a halachic perspective, we have halacha. It's a mishnah. That women are not obligated to wear tefillin because it is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. We know that proactive commandments that are time-defined, mitzvah saseh, proactive commandments, shazman grama, that the time defines when you're obligated to perform them. So those mitzvos, women are not obligated to perform. On Shabbos, on Yom Tov, we're putter from wearing tefillin, we're not obligated. So then it becomes a mitzvah, she'azman grama, it's time-defined. Now, with regards to other mitzvot that are time-defined, such as saying Hallel, such as shaking lulav, such as hearing shofar, women decided they want to do it nonetheless, and they do, and fine, they can. When it comes to tefillin, so it's quoted in different sources, the Yerushalmi, the Medrash, that Saul's daughter Michal used to don tefillin, and the sages didn't approve. So this is different than other mitzvot aseh she'azman grama, because here we have an indication in the halacha that we discourage it. And that's what it says. If you want to see the Shulchan Aruch, the Lashon and the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Shulchan Aruch says women are pater from wearing tefillin because it's a mitzvah to say shazman grama. Adds the Ramah, and if women want to be more stringent on themselves, then we protest. So why do we protest? So the idea here is discussed among the different commentaries. I would like to quote the Aruch HaShulchan on this, even though there are many commentaries that discuss it. But Aruch HaShulchan was a very late commentary. He lived around the turn of the century. And he writes as follows. He says, we have a Gemara in Tractate Shabbos. The Gemara says that you want to don tefillin, your body has to be clean, like the great Rabbi Elisha Baal Knafayim, who had a miracle. His tefillin were almost confiscated. His life was in danger. The Romans had made a decree, no one's allowed to don tefillin. He wore tefillin. A Roman soldier saw him, he chased after him. Elisha took off the tefillin, wrapped it up, and... What?
Our website's almost there.
Okay. You want to put on a tie, a hat, a jacket, something. Elisha runs away. The Roman catches up to him. He holds the tefillin in his hand. The Roman asks him, what's in your hand? He says, the wings of a dove. And he opens his hand, and the tefillin miraculously turned into the wings of a dove. So the Gemara says, you want to wear tefillin, you got to be pious like him in your care that your body be pure when you wear tefillin. And says the Aruch HaShulchan, being that we men have an obligation every day to put on tefillin, so we do the bare minimum. We don't wear tefillin all day. We know it's very hard to maintain that obligation of keeping our body clean and pure, keeping our thoughts pure, keeping our body pure, the way Elisha Baal Knafayim did. So we don't have a choice. The halacha mandates that we have to wear tefillin once a day. So we put it on for the bare minimum. We put it on just before we start davening. We take it off right after davening, or a little bit after davening, but we don't leave it on all day. So women, they don't have such an obligation. So why should they enter something which is so complex, which is so difficult, where even us, if we didn't have to, we wouldn't put it on. The Talmud tells us in Tractate Erevin, Shaul's daughter wore tefillin. So it says, okay, over there, the rabbis didn't protest her because obviously she was an exception. But most people are not like that. So that's Doruch HaShulchan's explanation of this halacha. What's generally accepted is what the Rama brings, that we do protest. Now, that's from a practical perspective. That's from a halachic perspective. Realistically, when a woman comes and says, I want to put on tefillin, so the question is, why? Whenever we speak about things like this, we have to be realistic. If a person's coming and saying, I want to be extra pious and keep as many mitzvot as I can, so there are many mitzvot we can keep. If a person's coming and saying, I want Judaism to match what I think Judaism should say, and I want things to look the way I think, and if I think equality means that women don tefillin and I want to don tefillin, so then they're not coming from a perspective of piety that they want to perform the halacha as best as possible. They're coming from a perspective of an agenda where they want Judaism to fit into their agenda. That's not piety. I'm saying the whole discussion of a woman doing a mitzvah that she's not obligated in is a discussion of is it more pious for her to do it or not? One can argue what the Shulchan Aruch holds because he doesn't say that we protest a woman donning them. The Rama does say it. But if a woman comes in and asks or learns enough to know, then she'll understand that her areas of piety are different. They're not less. And for her to come and say, but I want to do what everyone, I want to do what the men are doing. But why? Why is that something better? Meaning if she has her mitzvot, and in those realms she can excel and she'll do better than we'll do, so why is she so pressured to do our mitzvot? It's not an issue of competition. It's an issue where different people have different mitzvot. I don't have the Kohen's mitzvah. You know, the Reform movement was very upset that Kohanim bless. That Kohanim do Birchos Kohanim. 150 years ago, they were writing essays. One of the founding fathers of the Reform movement wrote, I'm paying his bills, and this Kohen's going to stand up there and bless me. Who's he? Let me give the blessing. I'm the rabbi. The Kohen's going to bless us. So that's, again, a distortion of roles. The rabbi has his job. The Kohen has his job. The Levite has his job. The men have their job. And the women have their job. And it's not a question of more or less. It's a question of where we each should excel. And that's why, practically, when a person comes and says, I want to put on tefillin, so then my question is going to be, why? I mean, why does this woman want to put on tefillin? If she wants to be pious, then she should really learn how a woman should be pious. And if she'll come and ask a question, well, what can I do to be more pious? So I would tell her, daven 3 times a day. You want to be more pious? Try that before you're running to put on tefillin. That's something which many hold is obligatory. Why doesn't she do that? I wouldn't encourage the average woman to daven 3 times a day. But if a woman's saying, I want to be more pious, I think there are other places to start. Why not have kavana when she benches? That's biblical. Saying there are many biblical obligations that it's not so clear that a woman is really fulfilling on a day-to-day basis. It's much harder to fulfill them. And to go looking for things that are far out, I don't know, I'd have to wonder what's really driving this person. Right? There were women who did in Jewish history, and one can argue whether the Mechaber holds that we'd protest or not. But again, you have to wonder what's really driving the person. And unfortunately, today, a lot of women are trying to push things that are against our tradition in the name of piety. And that's really unfair, you know. You want to be pious, so do it piously. The Talmud says in Tractate Sota that there are certain things that are mivalei olam. There are things that are destructive to the world. And then the Talmud lists a whole list. The Talmud says all kinds of nicknames. The guy who walks and hits the wall because he says, I can't look. There are women on that side. So he's always like banging his head in the wall. The guy who davens too long. Different examples that the Talmud gives. And they're all examples of people that are being deceitful in their piety. They're trying to show that they're pious when in fact they're not so pious. It says there can be a widow that does all kinds of things in the name of piety, but really she's using it as a cover for her illicit activities. There could be a virgin who's doing all kinds of things in the name of piety, and it's really a cover-up. The Talmud takes different scenarios where men or women will try to present themselves as being extraordinarily pious. when in fact they're just covering up for something else. And that, the Talmud says, is from the destructive things in the world. Because when people try to present one thing and then they mislead other people, that's the Talmud said, is destructive to Am Yisrael. It's destructive to the masses. It's not the person's individual choice. You know, if she wants to sit in her house and do something, no one would say anything. We wouldn't even know what she was doing.
Why do you have the Kotel? It's different.